Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings. It's great to be back. I'm your host and fellow traveler on the path. And those of you that are new to Awakenings, hello. And those of you that are wondering what's been happening, I will let you know. I've had some emails and people on my blog saying, "What happened? Where are you? I can't get you in iTunes anymore." Awakenings, place to connect in. It's great to connect in with everyone and share what is happening in your life, in your personal shifting, as well as individual and collective shifting that's taking place. And we track here the ascension, soul alignment, living spirit-led and soul-fueled, as I like to say. So we're tracking those changes. If you're new to Awakenings, I do see some guests coming on in the chat room. You can just register by going to the bottom of the chat room and you'll see either log in or register, and then you can interact in the chat room. Those of you that have questions, comments, just want to be heard and be seen etherically, energetically, the number is 347-539-5122. Again, 347-539-5122. And just press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know to pick up the call. So that will get you on air. So we have with us today amazing guest, Kanta Bosniak, which will be on at 12:45. And from 12 to 12:45, we'll be connecting, sharing, chatting with Paulo D'Oro. Yes, you heard me right. So he will be co-hosting with me. Hopefully all of September, we'll see how it goes. I know he's very busy. But he's agreed to grace us with his wonderful presence, charms, and, of course, that Buddha belly laugh I know will be coming out at some point. So we are going to connect. We're going to be talking a bit about the individual changes and the redirections of energy that are taking place right now, individually and collectively, as well as doing readings. So if you would like a reading, again, the number is 347-539-5122. Also, I did put in the chat, before we bring Paulo on, I want to just recap a bit of stuff. Those that listen in iTunes or the archives later on, there really was no way, I don't know, my assistant and producer didn't know how, and I don't know how to message everyone collectively to have let everyone know that we would not be on for the whole month of August, because as some of you may know, I was in a car accident, stopped at a stoplight, rear-ended from behind in my car. And so I've had major concussion and whiplash. Can't think of that word. So I might space in and out. It's been great for channeling and zoning out. I'm in that world quite a bit, but coming back in or more cognitive or left brain is a bit challenging. So, but I've got great people that I'm working with at the Soft Tissue Center in Marina Del Rey. They work with a lot of athletes, and they're one of the medical organizations that and centers that work even with the Olympics. So shout out to them. Wonderful healing energy there. So that's what's happened. So those of you that will hear this on iTunes, that's what happened for August. That's why you couldn't get the shows, or they were replays. And the other thing is, if you do go to either Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, I do keep information, people abreast there, or the Facebook page, my Facebook page, facebook.com, Michelle Mache, /Michelle Mache, and that is the Awakenings radio page. So if you do go to that, we do keep, that's at least, unless somebody knows, and if you do know, call in or email me how to send, you know, bulk messages to everybody, you know, that's registered through BTR. Just didn't know how to do it, and, you know, didn't want to put my assistant doing you know, one individually with thousands. So the best way to keep abreast of stuff is the Facebook.com, Michelle Mache, or Michelle Ohm, also that's my personal page. But either of those will keep you knowing what's going on. And I really want to thank so many people emailing wonderful healing energy, prayers, healing light. It's been great to connect with everybody in that way, and great suggestions. Little Light, I see that emailed me as well. So the well wishes and healing energy and light has been really, really touching and great. And I can feel it. I can feel all those well wishes and healing energy and light. So appreciate it so much. So let's check in with Paulo.
Hello. Aloha.
Aloha, Paulo. How are you?
I'm great.
Through all the shifts and changes, huh?
Oh, I know, huh? It's like being at a smorgasbord.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. But I'm bringing the island sun and bringing the island love, and I'm bringing the island aloha to you, my dear friend.
Yeah, everybody, hello. We are back. We are back in the saddle again. This is back. Yeah, see everybody coming in the chat room. It's great to connect in with everybody. So, and hopefully better stuff, because we had a little problem last time I was on with even getting the guest on or getting Paulo on for some reason. Hopefully that's being is being fixed. So one of the things I want to talk, Paulo, we're going to talk a bit, and then we are going to, just a couple minutes, and we're going to get to the phone lines. Again, 347-539-5122, pressing 1 on the keypad. Let's us know that you have a question or a comment. One thing I wanted, I've been getting a lot of emails, and I've kind of been saving them until I got back on air. People saying that they have been experiencing major changes right now in their life, and they're noticing that it's not just them. It's family members, people around them. I call this the redirection of energy. And even things that they perhaps were thinking of years ago, let's say of career-wise or wanting to do or even moving, that now all of a sudden those opportunities are opening up. Can you speak to that a little bit, Paulo?
I can. Basically, we have consciously and subconsciously been planting seeds all our lives. And whether we know it or not, we've seen something that influenced ourselves, and we put that kind of connective cord to that idea. And in being this is a circle, it's coming around now where the dimensions are kind of blending and melting into each other so that these cords can activate. So some type of reconnective energy can be connected to the first time that you connected to this energy. Therefore, in this period, it can manifest itself again. So I'm seeing this a lot. We do see this as change, but I see this as a seed that we planted long ago that we may not be aware of.
That's a good point. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday, actually a client, and they were saying how all these things were lining up for them now. And I said, yes, but you called that in. You asked for this. I said, it's really important. Do you feel that? I really, at this time, it's so important to realize, just like what you're saying, Paulo, we planted the seeds. If it fits into the template of the soul design, if it fits in, especially now in the Aquarian age, if it fits in with the big picture, individually and collectively, you will find your manifestations coming through and coming through quite quickly. I think the operative words here, phrases, is soul design, soul template, soul path, soul purpose, and also individual and collective. So if it is in alignment, you will see these things manifesting quite quickly. But as you're saying, Paulo, people have asked for this. And that is, I think, something very empowering that people have to remember.
They have to remember they asked for it in some way. It may not be consciously. that they ask for it, but it is important that they own it and that they are the portal to let it in and then to receive it, because if they stand in front of their medicine, if they stand in front, then they can become the moderator of it, and that's not wise at this time. It is wise for them to step back and allow it to come in, because to know that it is the seed of their soul, to know what that is, to now see it manifest. What is your soul saying to you now? It's almost like, okay, open the book and look at what your soul is bringing you.
Look at what
you recognize it, you know.
You may not recognize it.
Yeah. The key is not to recognize it. The key is to accept it.
Acceptance.
We might have put our whole existence, because of who we are, in a certain way we put our energy. And in that way we may have made a box out of it and a title and energy to build it. But in that building we've only done our pretending. And we put in, this is going to come in as red. And it comes in as blue. And we go, that can't be it. But yes, it is.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's just that we've held the space for it. Now we need to receive what it truly is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that, the receiving of what it truly is. One of the things in one of my, can your soul path include physical pain? Yes, right. Yes, it can. Yes, it can, honey buddies.
Oh, boy. As long as you have the body suit, you have the...
Okay. Let's do it, Paulo. I'm giving everyone a loving, etheric, spiritual slap. Did you hear
there
that?
You go.
Did you feel that? Okay, guys. We have got to get out of the Judeo-Christian, the conventional religious bondage that says, if I'm a good girl or a good boy, if I do everything right, I'm not going to get sick, I'm not going to have pain, I'm not going to stub my toe, I'm not going to have conditions, I'm going to have all the money I want, I'm going to have the guy that I want, I'm going to have the girl that I want, I'm going to have the car that I want, I'm going to have two kids, and we're bigger than that. We're bigger. Not everything that happens to you, even if it's unpleasant to the ego personality, means that you are off purpose or path. Knowing that you're off purpose, and this is so individual, you have to look at things that are chronic states, emotional states, or chronic stuck states. Though that's going to signal being off path. Having experiences of things, fleeting experiences that might be discomforting, uncomfortable, or that you absolutely hate. See, everybody bought into this thing. If I do the right thing, if I wear the right clothes, if I wear the right jeans, I'm going to get the right whatever. And, you know, it reminds me of years and years ago when I was babysitting, I think, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years old. And this little boy, Craig, I think his name, I can't remember now. But anyway, he put his hand on something that was electrical, and he got a shock. And he looked at it. It was interesting. His eyes, I'll never forget, got really big. And he looked back at the plug, and I could see him think, I could see the whole process, like, wow, if I touch that, this happens. That's very interesting. And he was ready to leave that experience that we would all consider pain or having something bad happen to him. He's really ready to move on and go for those crayons until well-meaning mommy came in and was crying and screaming. And then he looked at her, looked at the plug, looked up at me, and then went, ah! And started crying. You know what I mean, guys?
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I experienced it a little differently through this book, and I can't remember the title or the author, but she interviewed children in the Holocaust from the ages of one family, from the ages of 5 to 18. And at the 18-year-old was very explicit about all the traumatic trauma that they were experiencing. In the middle, it was kind of a half trauma, half joy. But by the time they got to the little one at 5, the 5-year-old said, oh, it was the most glorious time of his life. He was held by his mother. They were underground singing songs together. There was beautiful lights in the sky. So it's a matter of how we interpret things. You know, how we interpret our surroundings.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And one thing to remember, that these situations do not determine consciousness. This life experience, which is we're just here to experience and express who we are and share that. You could call that love if you want. And there's many things that come with that. Learning lessons, stomach aches, great times. You know, we're playing out the polarities. Part of the ascension is ascending beyond the extremes of playing out polarity consciousness. So there's less and less extreme. So there will be less extreme things happening to one. But in essence, and Carl Jung talked about this, that we're this living question. Not only are we in consciousness made manifest these living questions, we're the living answer. So every thought, even before thought, every vibrational frequency has a corresponding manifesting component and is as a manifesting form, a manifested form to it. So everything that was ever breathed into consciousness and into the awareness of all of us has first manifested as a vibrational frequency that became a thought form, and that thought form became a manifested form. So everything that we have is needed and necessary until it isn't, and then it's no longer there. You know, it's not a necessary manifestation. So I think for people to remember that, especially right now, that our individuated aspect that we are in this manifested form, it's like the pinky to the hand. It's only a small part of us. You know, we have multidimensional experiences and lives that we're living out and many different forms and aspects. So this is just one, you know, expressing and experiencing through emotion, through density, through polarity. It's such a small part of us. And we came here to have these expressions, right? I mean, you know, it's, oh, hello, Pixie. Missed you all, too. Yeah, I don't know where this came. It is a, you know, Jam Paulo put in the chat room that it's a brainwashing, and I do feel so because it's hard to really enjoy life when we're constantly monitoring to see if, and I'm not talking like from the witness self or detached observer, but when we look at our life and compare it constantly to others to see, am I doing okay? You know, do I,
yeah,
you know,
well,
is something wrong,
yeah,
with me, right?
Well,
is that?
Well, there you're assuming that you're already in the witness chair. You're making a decision, you're making a a comment on who you are. So therefore you're really separate to who you are at that point. If you continue,
wow,
to stay in that, you see?
Yeah.
If you're already in that you're comparing this to that, then you are not who, you're not being who you are right there.
Right.
Right there, there's a, and Rumi puts it where he says, if you make a decision about yourself, the stem of the wine glass breaks. In other words, you're not enjoying your life. You're not with your life.
Mm.
It's a very, very,
wow,
interesting, subtle place. Yes.
Say that again. If you're the stem of your, if you're what? Say that,
yes,
again.
If you're making a judgment of your life, if you're comparing your life, then the stem of the wine glass breaks. And I know I'm being I'm paraphrasing on Rumi. Excuse me, Rumi.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to communicate to the listeners that if you are in that judgment place, the stem of the wine glass breaks. So there's no joy. You're not getting the fulfillment of life.
Mm.
You're not with your life because you can't You can't hold a broken spoon.
Yeah.
What? You know, and you can't place your life down. Your life can't be by it, you know, it won't hold it up because the stem broke.
Right.
So, you're always
so in essence,
your
if you're making a judgment on your life, you're not with your life.
Yeah.
You're not in it.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so simple, but it's so subtle that one doesn't understand that. So when you're looking at your life in comparison to somebody else's, well, that's what you're putting your energy in, somebody else's, not yours.
Wow.
See? Yeah. And there is no one who's... I always tell the people I see, I said, who gave you that position? I'm taking away your visa. You're not allowed to go into that position right now. You're not in a position to judge your life. I don't think any of us are. Let's just get real. You know? We're all hanging on a thread here with our consciousness and love keeping us all together. That's what we need to build on. We don't need to build on whether one is better than the other.
Yeah.
There's a German group, and I wish I knew the name of the group, but their song is, someone's always fitter than me, someone's always richer than me, someone's always better looking than me, and that's always going to be true.
So true, and especially as we're, you know, ascending, you know, if you want to call it the Aquarian Age, however you want to look at it, it is living more from the intuitive realm, not solely intuitive. You know, we'll have thinking and obviously cognitive functioning. But as we're more spirit-led and living from the template of the soul, the constructed ego will know less and less what is going on. It will have less control. So people are going to have to begin to get used to not particularly knowing or being able to overly plan. You know, we've been living from a dynamic that the constructed ego has been, you know, really taking hold. Let's, Paulo, get to some of our callers. We've got here 949-542. Hello,
know,
welcome
I
to Awakening.
I should have known when I heard the giggle that it was Paulo in the background. I should have known. I was just saying to myself, I miss Paulo, and I miss Michelle, and my two favorite people, bada bing, bada boom, it's Adanya. Love to you both. I
it's like the cyber vaudeville show again, huh?
You know,
that's right, we're back.
I needed the laugh today, so thank you.
Oh, I do, honey.
It's interesting. I'm in a space of absolute, unwavering trust right now, and that is a space that for years I chose not to play in because, you know, control freak, and I'm recovering from that illness. But that's kind of where I am, and it's. I feel like I'm at the precipice of something big is coming.
Ooh.
You know, I feel of dreams.
Funny.
I feel like I'm in a field of dreams moment, but then there's, you know, those very, very, very brief moments of, you know, crying, like, you know, I don't know what to do, and then I'll turn around and give thanks for all that I do have. So my question to either one of you or to both of you, collectively, is what message do my guides want me to hear right now regarding my process, regarding the fact that I've been asked to trust in full faith? I just want to know what you hear. It's, you know, it's work, you know, it's really more work related, because, you know, with work comes money, but really focusing on my end result, and that's just two emotions, love and joy, and really doing my best to trust that. So
Here's the first thing I heard was congratulations. I am hearing congratulations. The Oversoul and Spiritual Hierarchy said you're doing it. You have a personal guide coming in that I feel that works a lot. What they're telling me is foods, nutrition, herbs. You're going to be doing something on I don't know if it's a physical cleanse. I see some energy work around it. It could be like Qigong, Tai Chi. There's something with maybe yoga movement. A very inward phase. But they're telling me you've been working on this for a while because a lot of what you thought was going to happen and when it was going to happen wasn't happening. It didn't happen. And they're saying what is meant to happen can now come through. Yes.
I have something to add here during this time for you. Also celebration of where you come from to where you are now. And I think that bhakti is in order for you to really hold on to this level of bhakti, which is trust, which is putting your head below your heart, because your head will have no answers and your heart will have no questions. So I would be bowing every morning, just bow your head below your heart, honey, and start holding that space right now for you. Because I feel a lot of sadness that you're working through. A lot of sadness. A lot of disappointment, honey. And you know, if you're in body and you're on this planet, hey, we all know that road. And it is disappointing to hold on to it as making it real. But it is, realize disappointment is just as long as we are holding that space. So I really believe you've come a long way. And as Michelle said, you have some cleansing, you have some physical energies to work with to hold that space. But start it with the bhakti. Start putting your head below your heart.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I feel. And again, these changes happen. This is why the quickening that started and took place in 2005 started moving us in a space to get used to the great unknowing or not knowing so that we can move into space where we've never been before. See, the ego wants to go and into a space we've been before and do what we've been before, but do it differently in a way that we know. Okay? You guys follow that? Right? So we all want to do what we all want to have a different life. We all want to grow and change and expand and experience newness, but the caveat is we say inside, I only want to do it in a way that I know, which means that it's not different. So part of what's been happening in the quickening phase is that we've been having to release what we think is going to happen or how it's going to happen. I think, Paula, you mentioned this earlier in the beginning of the program. March of this year, and this is an 18 to 22-month cycle, for those that it's happening sooner, it will be from March to the end of August, September, which we're right in that phase right now. Our soul contracts are being edited, deleted, updated. So we're really having a chance to really wipe the slate clean. But as Paulo said earlier, what's coming back to us is what we've really wanted to have happen anyway and didn't think it could or didn't know it could, or we had other things to finish up. So it's not like you're going to get things that are so, they might seem surprising, but you will find that it's things on a deep soul level, deep desires that you've really wanted to do. Adonia, why do I keep feeling movement around you and dance? What is that about? It's like you need to move, dance. What is that? Is it?
Get off my butt. Get off the sofa and stop watching Fame. Oh, my God. I've been watching Fame all this week. On a side note, I have flashing back to my adolescence. It's in my head right now. I want to live forever. Anyway, Michelle, out of curiosity, you mentioned a guide. Does this guide have a name?
Well, you know, does, but I can't, and I didn't know if it was you or this guy. It's I don't know. It's a different name, a different language that I'm not, feels very indigenous or native. I don't know if it's Polynesian.
I don't know. Feeling an energy around me as I've been doing a lot
of
meditation.
Yeah, and there's an Asian there's an Asian influence as well.
With the last name like Wong, I shouldn't be surprised.
Is it okay?
I'm teasing.
I feel it's very, very almost ancient Chinese.
Yeah, it's but there's something very tropical as well. They won't reveal. Let me see, what will they reveal? It's only coming in, so they're not revealing a name. They said they don't want you to get stuck on the name or the form. But you will be able to tune into the energy through movement. I feel medical energy, but like herbal, acupuncture, Qigong, movement. It has a lot of moving, healing energy. And comes from a small village.
Jade
would be important right now. Jade would be an important stone for you.
Oh, I have a lot of jade.
Good.
And it's so funny. I've been thinking about revisiting the Tai Chi DVD that I have, you know, to really learn that. So that's so very fascinating that popped into my awareness, and obviously everything pops into our awareness for a reason. I don't want to take all of your time. I know there's some other beautiful spirits wanting to share with both of you. So thank you so much. I'm going to stay on. I saw an email for the Abundance Triggers yesterday, and how fitting that is what you're talking about today. So another divine moment.
Yes, and Kanta is amazing. She's amazing. She'll be on at 12:45, so I look forward to connecting with her and sharing her with all of you.
Yeah,
all right, Adonia.
Blessings to you both. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. And Paula, what's your – well, I'm getting the next caller. Your email address website address also. People want to connect with you for your sacred empowerment jewelry as well as working with you.
Okay. It's paulodoromaui@gmail.com and also paulo@planetproperties.com. Two vessels to reach me. And also they can friend me on Facebook as Paulo Doro.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll put this all in the chat room right now.
Okay,
will
perfect.
That
that really the Facebook, you know, until I can think of something better, if anyone knows how to do kind of bulk or group, if you will, group emails on BTR, that would be great. Otherwise, the best thing is the Facebook page, even though it says Michelle Mache, that is for Awakenings Radio. All right, we've got 210. Who is this?
Hi,
hello, welcome to Awakening.
Hello, my name's Carolyn, and I'm from San Antonio, Texas.
Ooh, I have relatives in San Antonio. Wonderful.
Hello.
Oh,
are you one of them? Did they have you call in? No, I'm just teasing. And what's your first name again? I didn't quite get that.
Oh, Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
Carolyn. And I loved your last call. I would just love a continuation of that. Any message from my spirit guides or something I need to know about my path, just open to whatever you're tuned into.
Okay. Let's see.
Michelle, how to?
Yeah, let me. Hold on.
I get this very warm energy, very very warm, loving energy, Carolyn. And I also get in that you're very open to all the hurts of the heart, relationship wise. So I see a soul around you, an older woman, who held you, who gave you that safe place in life, whether she be an ancestor or a coming back as an ally in a spirit world now for you. But there is this loving, loving kind of grandmother energy around you. And I feel that when things get really, really tested for you, that she's holding you there, that you are in a safe place with her. Does that make any connection?
Yes, that's beautiful. That does sound like my grandmother's energy very much.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It really is a loving, loving connection.
Well, and go ahead, ask the question.
I was just going to say, with my grandmother, it wasn't until after she passed on that I realized how similar we were and how resonating her energy was.
Yeah.
So it's almost like I developed a relationship after she passed. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. That's when you really connected, I believe, to that energy. It wasn't in the body. It's a big, warm, loving energy that was bigger than both of you. So it kind of, yes, it really reunited at that point, definitely.
Yeah.
That's because she wasn't allowed to with her own special or her own energy, wasn't allowed to really, you know, expand until that. To reach
right.
There are many, there are many, many, many that she was, she's a very loving, concerned, one of these matriarchs that hold it all together.
Oh, yeah, very much.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm honored to coming through. That's beautiful. I send her love right back.
Yeah, I feel, I just want to say with you, I do feel, for some reason, March, April, May of next year is going to be very pivotal. You're in a completion phase. It's interesting with the grandmother coming through, because I do feel there is a lot on the other dimension, you know, the veil, the other side, or the non-embodied side, and wanting to connect with you. And also something about relationship, either a new one coming in, or you're really going to be putting to someone wanting more fulfillment or more fulfilled change, a change that brings more fulfillment, and wanting to do more as a partner. Partnership keeps coming up around you where you want to share more of your life. And I do feel February, March on that will start coming about for you.
Nice, yes. That sounds right. That sounds where I'm headed. I like that.
Can I ask who is the blonde, kind of a very, very gentle soul also that seems to be an ancestor or a friend that passed, somebody that passed? Is there anyone that passed that is a man? Close
yeah,
to
there's a lot that have passed around you.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know that? No, I'm
honored. I'm excited about that.
Okay.
A blonde man.
Kind of a light-haired, very, you know, light-haired. A gentle man. All I can see is a real gentle man. Okay.
That's interesting. And I see an older woman with all in black near a tombstone. You've got a lot. Let me see. What is this about? This real quick, and we'll get to the other callers.
Clairvoyant, the clairaudio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that you have a really
developed that with my grandfather. I felt like I tried so hard to reconnect with him. I feel like it makes me open to that energy, and I'm not scared of it, and I love interacting with.
Well, I will tell you, Caroline, and I don't say this a lot because, you know, and I've been on the show since, I don't know, I said 96, and you have a natural ability as a medium, as a connector, you know, psychically and as a medium to connect with people on the other side, and they want to. Because there's a whole lot of people coming through your vortex of energy. We could do the rest of the show channeling who's coming through, Caroline. So, yeah, you have a natural ability. Mm-hmm. So if you want to open to that more, I do feel there are a lot of beings that not only want to connect with you, but you can also bring healing energy to those that are transitioning or that have crossed to the other side. You can actually be a channel for them, a voice for them, a communicator for them.
That's lovely. That makes me... I was calling to see what my purpose was, and I'm glad to hear that part of me...
Well, there you go. You don't get a better partnership than that. It never goes away. It's with you always.
This is coming full circle, because you've always been there, but you didn't recognize what your soul sends you. This is what I was talking about at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Your seeds were always to communicate with all these souls around you. Since you came in, honey, you had spirits all around you as you came in. And your soul said, I really want to learn how to play with all my friends, whether they're embodied or whether they're not.
There you go.
You see?
Wow.
So now your soul is sending you that, and you're going, I don't really recognize that. Don't put yourself in that position. Just allow it. Allow it to know that that connection is now coming about.
Well,
perfect.
I'm
that's
very
it.
Thrilled, and that's it. Thank you so much. This is a profound day for me, really.
Woo!
Oh, wonderful. Blessings and light.
Love and light to you. I'm enjoying the show so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Call back again anytime. Blessings.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Ooh, wonderful. I love that. We have other callers on the line. If you would like to talk, to share, to be heard, if you have questions, comments, just want to chit-chat, the number is 347-539-5122. And just love to hear from you if you'd like to be heard. I still am feeling the residue of all those beings. You know, around.
I know. It's like a myriad of them around her, isn't that wonderful? It's just wonderful to know that that level. It creates such warmth for me to know that. You know, I feel like they're like Joseph in the many coats that he wears. I feel that kind of is a. I'm wearing a crazy quilt. Who knows what will pop in today? You know.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Perfect. Just amazing amazing energies today. And people feel, you know, I just had a conversation earlier this morning. The friend of mine, and then I had done a meditation, and I picked in my angel cards, love and abundance.
Wow.
And in alignment to our content, who's going to be coming on shortly. But this opening that's happening, if people aren't rushing, if you're really listening, the guidance is there. The guidance is there. We're going to be diving into that more and more. Trying to get to a couple of more people. You didn't have number one press, so I didn't know you had questions. How about 804-798? Let's see. Howdy, 804-798. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, hi, Michelle and Powell. My name is Hugh. I'm calling from Ashland, Virginia, which bills itself the center of the universe. And I'm all about creative utilization of information to help empower people and have them come together in collaborative ways and ultimately bringing unconditional love globally and raising the level of consciousness. And I am an unlimited well of creativity as well as a creative intelligent force.
Okay. We got one more call in there. So did you have a quick question or a comment, Huel?
A quick comment to show the beauty of creativity. I did speak with Kanta. She'll be coming on so she can verify that.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, it's always, I've heard your voice before, so it's always wonderful to have you connect on awakenings and share your light and energy.
Yes, I'm just trying to get it out there to show that we all have unlimited creativity, and if we put our hearts in the right place, we'll transform things for a wonderful, peaceful new world. Thank you so much.
So true, Huel. So true. Thank you for that. Thank you so much for that. such an important important message. Okay, we've got one more call before we get to our guest, 919-685. Art thou? 919-685.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, wonderful.
Great. I don't have a question. I just want to get a general reading.
Gotta have a question. You gotta be involved. It's like going to the restaurant. You gotta order off the menu.
Yeah.
You gotta look at the menu.
Okay. Okay. All
okay,
right.
What's your first name? What's your first name, by the way?
Oh, my name is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. Okay.
Hi.
Go for it.
Where are you from, Jackie?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Welcome.
Oh,
North
wow.
Carolina. I love it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful state. I'm on a spiritual path. I'm on a spiritual path, and I'm preparing myself to do some healing work. I'm taking it in steps. I want to take some training, but, you know, it's not free. You have to pay for that service, and that's not a problem. So I just wanted a reading on that for myself as far as me moving into that dimension of work as 4D, 5D, as opposed to where I am now, which is 3D for my occupation. So.
Mm-hmm. I feel nurturer, healer, but you're a teacher, but I want to say a teacher that is a guide. There's something about you teaching by example, which on one level we all do, but some of us do it a little more overtly. So I feel by your changes, and one of them, a big change for you is healing from the mother, the maternal healing, healing the mother-daughter relationship, healing what nurturing is, self-nurturing, mothering is, what is the feminine energy, really connecting in with that in a very directed way. So you're going to be, a big healing for you is a rebalancing of the inner male and inner female, the masculine-feminine energies, the yin, the yang energy. You're very direct, you work well with form, you work well with decision-making, you work well with keeping on track. Now, take all of that and bring in this flowy, fluid energy, because we need both. So you'll be doing that, and I feel books, CDs, I feel a lot of training conferences, but it's going to be how you did it, what worked for you, and sharing that with others. And I feel in the book it'll be more of a workbook. Because you like ideas, you like the practical application of things, you like the how-to. You're not big on just theory or theoretical or keeping things just intellectual, so you will be bringing that to what you do. But I see training seminars, and most likely I feel in some type of group or corporation even, some kind of company.
And I would like to add today that if you just take a blank book today, and as she said, you just put your name on that book and start doing it. Just start doing it. Don't look at it as something you will be doing. You start this right now, today. You connect with the energies. We had a call about the endless way of creativity. Put your name on this book. Title it, whether that changes, whether that goes. Start that book today.
Love that. Great. I love it. How does Jackie like it?
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Keep shining.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful beings. I love that. And, Huel, thank you for that message. Yes, the creativity. You know, our creativity comes from the soul. That's a big part of our soul design. We're going to be bringing on today our guest. Some of you know of her already. She's been on Awakenings before, as well as other programs. Kanta Bosniak is our guest today. She's an author, artist, and a coach. She's also an interfaith minister. And she's going to be talking today about the abundance, the triggers for abundance. What are those triggers for abundance? Hello, Kanta. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah. great to connect with you. Absolutely
yeah.
amazing.
We had such a good time last time.
We did. We really did. Oh, gosh. And I want you to meet also Paulo Di Oro. He's
Hi,
co-hosted
Paolo.
With me for...
Hello. Hello,
nice
Tasha.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I've been enjoying what you all have been saying. And
yeah.
Resonating
did you hear?
Completely with it.
Are you ready? Yeah, we... This morning, like I had said earlier, I was doing a meditation and I picked two angel cards, and one was love and the other one was abundance. And I thought, that piqued my interest even more to talk to consciousness. Oh, gosh. And how are you doing with your dishes, by the way? Did you get the ceramic dishes?
I have... brought with me to my new home. I left the ones behind that didn't completely resonate, as I shared with you. As inspired by you, truthfully. And I brought the most precious, precious ones with me. They were given to me by a woman I love very much, who is, in a way, like a mother to me, who passed, crossed over. And so the dishes themselves are an absolute abundance trigger for me. When I see them, I feel happy.
I love that. And what are, because I know it's piquing a lot of people's interest as well, what are abundance triggers? And how do we know we're being triggered in that direction?
Okay. I certainly think abundance triggers are timely right now. Because I think there's an awful lot out there that's triggering fear and lack. Mm. And I think it's kind of not to belittle the quote-unquote reality of it. I mean, there are issues of social justice and all of that sort of thing that do need to be addressed. But I'm not a social activist. I'm a spiritual activist. And I think that one of the ways that people can address that is within themselves, using their creativity. So abundance triggers are visual, kinesthetic, auditory, and other anchors, or other things that you can say, do, ceremonies that you might do, any kind of an activity, or even a mental, you know, something that you remember that can be a vehicle for shifting your consciousness from fear and lack or shame and all those blue nasties over into feeling love, prospered, and supported. So,
which I kind of feel when I am connecting into that love vibration that I am, we are, I do feel there's more abundance. To me, they go
absolutely.
Kind of hand in hand.
Absolutely. And I think that most people who are on a path right now and who, you know, don't live in a cave, I mean, it's pretty hard to be in this world and not have read The Secret or seen it. Or What's the Bleep, or these sorts of things, or, you know, the work of Abraham and the Hickses and Catherine Ponder and all the greats. I think we're very much exposed to this, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Thank you, Oprah Winfrey, who isn't of herself practically an abundance trigger to me anyway. And yet, I think we know that it's important to be in happiness as a launch pad. When you want to manifest, you do it from a place of happiness and joy. And that's easier said than done, especially when you want to be able to receive what it is that you send out as a prayer. So, you know what I mean? It's like... most people can get themselves into happy for at least 30 seconds, long enough to send out a prayer request. But that's not going to do it. You have to keep yourself in happy or bring yourself back to happy to receive and to be able to maintain and accept whatever it is that you wanted I mean, things can come and things can go. You know, we all hear and read about these stories of people who win the lottery and then a year later they're poor again because they haven't changed their consciousness. I think a lot of people have come to New Thought, for example, who are interested in the prosperity issue and abundance issue, and I want to say more. I think most people who are drawn to New Thought are pretty serious about the consciousness change. But some of the people who have sort of come lately to The Secret and all of that stuff, bless you, are wanting to play with this and learn about it. And it's an important part to know that putting yourself in the place to manifest involves a change in your consciousness. It isn't about parlor tricks. It's about changing the way you feel
and the
way you
think. The one thing I want to share, having had some, you know, dire situations in my life that I wasn't very happy, but I manifested some amazing situations. I'm not a big proponent of The Secret because I really feel it leads people astray and it's I think we talked about the big misinterpretation of the universal laws as outlined in Hermetic philosophy where Abraham or whatever the two that channel it had gotten that information. Because ultimately we manifest by resonance. It's so beyond what it is that we really want. Right, we can't, and this is something I'm glad you bring this up in a way because we, especially in the Aquarian age, which is the age of light, which corresponds to resonance, we cannot manifest what is not in our soul design. And then I always use this example: if I was an apple tree, no matter how much I want to be an orange tree, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm a goat, I'm not going to be a pig. So I really feel that it's really beyond moving beyond happy. It's really moving into
authenticity.
An alignment.
Exactly. It's moving into an alignment with who you are and who you are authentically, not who your ego wishes to present yourself to be to other people.
Yeah, because believe it or not, I used to model and I was an actress, traveled all over the world, and I met some people that were extremely bitter and unhappy. And they manifested some amazing situations, even amazing love relationships in their life. Sometimes they didn't appreciate it, or sometimes they would even say, "Why does this person? Why am I so lucky? Why do I have so much love in my life? And why do I have so much? He didn't say abundance, but you know, money. Mm-hmm. Why do I have so much money and 35 homes around the world?" So I really think we've got to stop. We've got to do some myth busting here because people are led astray trying to squelch seemingly negative emotions. You know, I'm not talking about chronic stress.
And
you know, as a hypnotherapist, you know that it's not the fleeting emotions that put people astray, but the chronic.
It's the chronic ones. It's the things that are outside your conscious awareness. The things that are in that. You know, in the shadow. So really,
can you talk
abundant,
a bit about that, Kanta?
I can.
A bit about the chronic
I can. And I think, you know, it's sort of goes to what is abundance trigger and what is an abundance trigger and when is it appropriate? Or what sort of abundance trigger is appropriate in what sort of situation? Abundance triggers are those things that you can do, say, feel, remembered stories that pull you back, that you can use to pull yourself back when you get off your center, when your pain body comes knocking and slips in the door, you're not aware, there it is. Okay, so what can you do about that? Immediately to shift your consciousness so that you can habituate yourself to joy, so that you can raise your consciousness. So it may be something that you can place in your environment, a visual trigger that you can see. It may be music. It may be some other sort of kinesthetic, like breathing in citrus, some sort of orange oil. Orange oil is a kind of instant shapeshifter of emotion. Or it may be that you take a walk, or it may be, these sorts of things that you can do, ceremony that you can do, maybe a little more complicated, but things that you can immediately do, and then some things that might involve a little more effort.
Mm-hmm.
And also the use of story. I think that we can use our stories, we can use other people's stories, people who have succeeded in areas that we care about. I think Betty Ford was an abundance trigger for many people. So
you know,
I'm talking about
something.
Abundance in the sort of larger sense, abundance in the sense that you're talking about it, you know, not how can I get a swimming pool tomorrow, but how can I raise my consciousness? Now, getting manifesting financial prosperity is certainly an important thing, and it's not to be sneezed at. It's an important part of a balanced life, but it's not the only form of abundance. So to get, I'm coming around to your question in a kind of roundabout way, okay? It is the things that we can intellectually understand that is important to kind of get some control of our thoughts, get some mastery, I want to say. It's not really about control. It's about mastery. And
yeah,
I think
that mastery,
pretty
yes.
much any spiritual path, that, you know, from you know, yoga all the way back thousands of years to present time new thought, we all understand the importance of getting mastery there. And partly we get mastery by practicing, you know, using the muscle of making choices. So some abundance triggers can be most appropriately used when a negative thought is, you know, the image that I think of in my own mind is a little toddler pulling on your skirt, you know, mommy, mommy, and wanting attention, you know, and your negative mind is pulling on you, wanting attention, and you, what do you do about that? You know, what do you do about that? You can use some abundance triggers best for first aid. Like the simplest of ones are get in your body, take a nice deep breath,
yeah,
drink a glass of water, and feel your connection to yourself. You know, and some can be a little bit more sophisticated, like choosing objects, you know, power objects. The object doesn't have the power. You assign the power to it. You make an agreement with yourself. When I see that heart painting on my wall, I'm looking at right now, I remember to get into my heart. I remember that I'm loved, and I remember that I am love. It's an instant shapeshifter of emotion. Okay, so these things are for when you said the chronic stuff. You know, some chronic stuff comes in ways that are like the tug on your skirt, where first aid is, honey, I'll give you my attention right now, or honey, mommy's busy right now, give me a few minutes and I'll be right with you. No, the immediate first aid. Okay, so you address the negative as it shows up and pull yourself back, and that's one way to get mastery. When that child tugs on your skirt and you know from the tone of voice, or you know from the way they look, or you just know because you know, they need attention right now. You know, there are times when it isn't about Pollyanna-ing yourself or trying to do spiritual bypass, which I love that. I love that phrase, Jacqueline Small coined. She's the one that came up with, you know, we are spiritual beings having human experience, and I absolutely love her work. And she talks about spiritual bypass, which is that sort of happying yourself, fake happying yourself, and thinking that's going to do it. It doesn't do it. You have to address the deep stuff too. And sometimes when it really isn't about a quick shift, I think those quick shifts and understanding how to use them, when to use them, that's really important. And also, it's important to understand when a quick shift isn't called for. There are times when you just have to go through the feeling. You have to acknowledge it. You have to go through it. You have to allow yourself to go through the emotional waves, maintaining, if you can, your observer. And if you can't, just surf it. And you come out on the other side. And you learn something about yourself through that. And healing occurs. Because what's happened is that a piece of your shadow has popped up to be dissolved and healed. And so that...
I love what you said about a piece of the shadow. Because right now we're... Part of the quickening phase is... reclaiming or allow, it's an alchemical process as well as a mental emotional, but bringing that shadow material, integrating it so we can use that energy for, as Shul said earlier, creativity. I love what you said. I want to go back to this concept. You said something that for me in my life has been so important. A lot of people look at me and they go, well, how come you did this or how could you do that or, you know, how could you have the confidence? And not that I don't have, it's usually that I don't have the confidence and I have a lot of fear about doing something, but somehow I just get in alignment with my higher self and just say, you know, what the heck.
Yeah, it's the Georgia O'Keeffe thing. You know, she said she was terrified every day of her life, but it never stopped her from doing anything she wanted to do.
Right.
Hello?
Hello? Did we miss Michelle?
Yeah.
I can hear you, Kanta. Can you hear me?
Hey. Yes, Paolo, I can hear you too. I really enjoyed your talk before.
I
hopped on late because I was running today, and I got back and ate a late lunch and jumped on about 15 minutes or 10 minutes maybe before... my part of the show. And I loved what you all were saying.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. I found myself almost wanting to have a reading as much as talk about my book.
Right. Well, we can do that. Because I was feeling, you know, your last name, Bosniak, is that your...
It's my ex-husband's.
Well, because you took on a lot by that marriage. You took on a whole new life by that marriage.
I did.
And you are in the process of still letting all that go, how to separate yourself from that marriage. Because it was a heavy, heavy genetic family. You know, generations your royalty. I feel royalty. And so, therefore, you kind of married a country, honey.
Well, I feel like I've cleared away an awful lot of stuff, and I feel very fresh, and I feel like there's a relationship coming my way, and it will be very different from any I've ever had before, much more, we both keep our independence.
Uh-huh. Yes, you're at that place now. But the important thing, the initiation of that marriage gave you this grand strength, within yourself, because it took a lot of strength to be in that relationship. You expanded
Oh my goodness,
so
yeah.
strongly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're
yeah.
ready. You see, your spirit's ready to think, oh, no, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in my power.
I want somebody who can be face-to-face with me, exactly. And I feel mm-hmm. that love for you is really happening. Probably coming.
I'm back, you guys. I got kicked out.
Hey. We're
and I was asking
a nice little second chat.
Yeah, we did. We had a little
very
moment.
Delicious.
Did you get what? A message?
Yeah.
We had a cyber bubble appear, I guess.
Yeah. I knew I was going to have a lot of fun today.
we do. Last time, too, great time. Because of what I was starting to say, maybe you touched this already while I was, you know, disappeared, banished from the... but one of the abundance triggers of connecting in, whether, I don't know, documentary, people, books, situation, you know, that inspire you. For me, I know in my path, it's been really helpful to look at those that either have done what I similar to what I want to do, or
mm-hmm.
even if it's something different, just the fact of witnessing, viewing another person just really going for it. That I don't know. I find that very.
I think story is hugely important, and I think. Story can show up as documentaries. I've been a total biography geek my whole life, all the way back to when I first started to read, and also a lover of stories. I read fairy tales. I read myths. Every kind of myth. You know, Greek, Norse, Arthurian legend, all of it. And I think that stories that are mythic are a great source of juice for me, as well as stories, life stories of others. My brother-in-law is an amazing documentary filmmaker. I love his work. Nars Chimley, his name is. He did an amazing piece called The Gospel According to Jesus, which I was just blew me away.
Wow.
And and has something newer out right now as well, Sophia. So at any rate, the film and stories, and as well as people's stories, the stories of people who have made a contribution, overcome obstacles, just created wonderful things, as well as, I mean, in terms of using story as an abundance trigger, as well as some of my own experiences and experiences of my clients, that when I get off center, I can remember, and I do. I mean, there are a couple of things, more than a couple of things. There are many experiences that have happened to me that would not be possible in a random universe. And when mm-hmm. I remember them, it wakes me up. You know, it wakes me up to joy.
So I never thought of this. So in a way, what you're saying with when we're connecting in with the documentary or the autobiography or biography, really what we're connecting in is to the story in a way, I guess. I guess archetypally
we are.
The heroes.
We're connecting with archetypes.
Huh?
We're connecting with
the
sort of collective, the archetypes that are in us, that are in the collective, you know, pool that we're all swimming in. And those archetypes can be drawn on for strength, depending on what it is that, as you were going back to what you were saying earlier, you know, if you're a badger, you know, you're going to draw on archetypes that work for badgers.
If
you're an alligator, you're going to draw on archetypes that work for alligators. So,
well, yeah,
I think
if you're an animal, I mean, say any of the animals, then you only know that resonance. I mean, if I'm a monkey and an elephant comes to me, I'll go, well, that's, you know, I won't know that world. I'll know the monkey.
Right.
But
right.
if the monkey and the elephant are put together long enough, then that becomes the one animal, in a sense. The monkey elephant world, you know, and expands like
the
that.
Melephant.
That's how I see it. And I see story as an extension of who I am. I see the story as a reflection of my story. If you tell your story and it triggers joy, then that triggers my joy.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So we
and
can see abundance
with
triggers
the
for each other.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So are you
and
suggesting,
I think
which
we
I
can
love.
Change? I'm sorry.
You, no, so you're in a sense suggesting, which I so agree with, that we it's almost an empowerment. We recognize not only that we're triggers for each other, but what our triggers are, and then perhaps have more of that in our life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And you know, when you were talking back before with the woman who had healing potential, and you were seeing and feeling for her. Writing that included workbooks, to me, that's huge. I mean, my books that I've published so far all have a workbook component within them. You know, there's text, and then there are exercises of writing and drawing, and and visualization, so that people can ground and experience and process what they're learning and make it their own.
You know, it's very, very interesting.
I loved your book, Surviving Cancer.
Thank you.
Your book, Surviving Cancer, and other stuff was great, not just for the condition of cancer, but anything that somebody is going through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing before, I want to make sure before we, just to make sure we get this in there. So your Abundance Triggers, is that out yet, the book?
Yes.
It's not out yet.
It's out in a couple
out.
Of forms. The book Abundance Triggers is a hardback, is available on Amazon, and it will give you a toolbox that you can kind of personalize for yourself for visual, kinesthetic, auditory, story, and other triggers for kind of first aid, as well as processes by which you can go in and dissolve whatever it might be that's pulling you off your prosperous conscious self, so that we've got first aid in there and also a deeper work. So that's the paperback book that's on Amazon. Then there's also an ebook version which is on my website, which is may I? It's
contrabosniak.com. Yeah, please. I've been putting it in the chat.
It's contrabosniak.com.
I love you. That's fine. Yes, that's part of what you're here for.
Yeah. and also, there's a CD, an audio CD, and that's available on Amazon, and a download that's available on my website. That's a shamanic journey that you can go in and do power object retrieval or retrieval of your own abundance triggers. And I recommend that when people do that, that they do it maybe once a month, so that because your abundance triggers are going to change because you change. And you accomplish things and you want to move on to other things. So the self-coaching tools, for example, that you would use would change. If your inner archetypes, your inner wise person, and your inner imaginative joyous being, what they give you or what you retrieve from them would provide a clue. If you're not sure what your next move is, what they offer you as abundance triggers would be a clue as to what you might want to move into. If they offer you a particular tool, then that tool would be a clue because that tool connects with an activity.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a book, and then there's a shamanic journey, and the book has a couple different forms. It can be purchased as an ebook on my website. It can be purchased on Amazon, and also the shamanic journey can be downloaded on my website or can be purchased as a CD that you can, you know, a hard copy CD that you can hold in your hand. There is an art component to everything I do because I'm an artist as well as a writer and hypnotherapist. So the books, the hard copy books and CDs are dear to me because they're pieces of art. I mean, they kind of serve as abundance triggers. And I kind of came kicking and screaming into the digital age. I finally realized that not everyone is like me and not everyone wants to hold that thing in their hand. So I have made things available digitally, but there is something I think there's something lovely about holding a beautiful book or something or a CD that has a beautiful design in your hand and putting it on your shelf.
Yeah.
Where you can see it.
I like both. I like both, but I do like the tangible. And it's interesting, certain things I can do online or digitally, and other things I love writing on the computer. I love blogging, but boy, I love my different themed journals.
Yeah.
Whether the one with my tea set on there, the one that, you know, that's hand bound, I mean, rice paper. I mean, I love all.
Oh, yeah. You know. Oh, yummy.
It's like,
there's
textures,
just something.
I love textures.
Pardon me?
Yeah, the textures. And writing with, I love writing with fountain pens.
Oh, so
do you?
Oh, yes.
Cool.
I love it.
I have to have a certain kind of ballpoint. I have to feel a certain way in my hand. And
yeah.
I'm a color freak. I love color. So my books and CDs are really like little pieces of art.
Yeah. Now, do you do those yourself, Kanta? Do you
design it? How it usually happens, Abundance Triggers, the CD has a painting of mine as a base. The book has a photograph of an altar in my old holistic center I used to have in Southwest Virginia. So most of the books and CDs begin with a painting, and then my friend Carlos photographs the painting, and he's a graphic artist, so he designs a CD to embellish it and bring it to all the way to where it wants to be. I love his he totally gets me, and he gets what I'm going for. And then starts with a CD, and then I do books that are related to the CDs. They're different. They're companions. And then the book company does a cover that's related to, you know, using the CD art as a basis and my painting as a basis. That's how most of them are. Abundance Triggers is the one that is a little different. And my next book, The Becoming Process, A New Paradigm for Life Change, has my website logo as a cover. So that's also a little different.
Now,
a radiant spiral. Pardon me?
Okay. Now, do you still do, because I noticed you do paintings as well, is that part of your life still?
I do paintings. I haven't painted for a while now. I painted, finished a very large series, and I'm taking a breather, a series of 60 paintings, of which I'm very proud. They're portraits and contemporary folk art portraits. I've got a couple shows up right now, and I've had shows in the, I guess the very first of this series, where I had a solo show at the ARE quite a few years ago now. So I'm happy to have finished that series and completed it, and it's been up in some really neat places and still is, and I'm taking a bit of a breather before I do my next paintings. I'll probably I've got a couple CDs I want to record, so I've got the canvases already for the paintings that relate to them.
I love that. To me, I feel that any kind of creativity or artistic expression is really coming from the soul.
It does. It does. Yeah. Well, you know my email, artforspirit@yahoo.com has been my email address for golly, for decades now. That's a pretty good description of, I mean, everything is, it's like, you know, sometimes people say, well, gee, you know, you do so many different things, but they're really one thing. It's one thing, and it's
Amen.
Using creativity to lift people up and help them. And help them learn to lift themselves up.
Yeah.
Whether it's a painting or a guided imagery that's recorded, or I'm sitting with a client, or I'm talking to an audience of 250 people at the ARE or somewhere else, or
yeah.
Unity. I do a lot of Unity and the New Thought venues. It's all the same thing, truly. And
I love you saying that. I used to get that a lot as well. Why do you do some, or how can you, it must be confusing, or how can you, what can't make up your mind? And that was my mantra, too. It's really all the same thing, just
it
different
is.
Ways of expressing.
Yep.
You know, and as you were talking, here in our remaining minutes, I get a little controversial here, but I just had a thought when you said your email address, which was artforspirit, what was it, at gmail.com?
At Yahoo.
I thought, wow, artforspirit@yahoo.com. What flashed through my mind is how interesting when, you know, let's see, less aware people or want to control. What do they get rid of? They don't allow people their creativity, to dance, to sing, to write,
yes.
or learn to write.
Yes.
Even in
yes,
the school
yes.
now, right?
I think
it just
it's all about
me
the
you...
feminine, Michelle. I honestly think.
Wow.
I think we're meant to be 360-degree people. We have a masculine, we have a feminine, and we need to be whole. We need to own that. You know, I think there are a lot of people who are too much to one side or the other. They don't own, you know, right-brain people who don't want to get up off the couch, you know, and don't want
yeah.
to take action and, you know, follow through and then I think things are out of whack the other way right now, where the feminine, there's a war on the feminine, I don't just mean women. I mean the feminine, by which I mean empathy itself.
Absolutely.
Is missing.
Do you feel? And you said 360. I love that visual because, you know, our mending is bringing the two back together in harmony and coherence.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel through the shift that individually and collectively that we're happening, that the healing is taking place? That we are.
I do.
Back.
I think that the present experience that we're having of what's going on is a response to change that is wonderful. It's kind of a backlash, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, plants lean to the light. It's a healing universe. It's an inevitability. We might as well face it. We're destined for enlightenment. And I think that each and every one of us, there are some people who are drawn to social activism. And there are some people who are drawn to spiritual activism. And it's all good. And, that, you know,
no.
even those people who don't feel inclined to, you know, work in political arenas, you can do an awful lot to help the common good by doing your own work, and every bit of your own work, as you lighten yourself, it changes the dynamic of the energy pool that we all swim in.
Yeah, very good point. I'm glad. Next time you come back, I want to touch on that more. I want us to really dive into that. I think you brought a really, really, it's 38 seconds in counting.
Yeah.
But that you don't have to be a political activist. You can be a different, an artist activist, a spiritual activist.
Yes.
Do
your work.
Thank you, Kanta. Our guest today has been Kanta Bosniak. The book that we've been discussing is her latest book, Abundance Triggers, available on Amazon now, or you can go to kantabosniak.com. Thanks, everyone, for being with us. It's been amazing to reconnect with all of you. Thank you, Conta. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And, of course, thank you, Maui Shaman, Paulo D'Oro. It's been great to have you on the program. He will be in the spiritual play with all of us for the month of September, as he can. Thanks, Paulo.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle. It's always great to play with you. And the wonderful people, it's just been a real pleasure. I thank you very much.
Yeah. And also just a little point I forgot to mention, and Luna Light in the chat had put the link and asked me to mention the Ascension Attunement and Lightwork meditation that's this Saturday in Brentwood, California, 1:30 to 3:30. She just put the link in the chat room. And so there's information there, or you can, if you have an interest, you can RSVP at awakenings@selfandlight.com. Again, our guest, Conta Bosniak, contabosniak.com, and co-host, Maui Shaman, Paulo D'Oro. You can reach him at paulo@planetproperties.com. And you can also connect with me on the Awakenings Radio page on Facebook. Under facebook.com, Michelle Mache. And again, great to connect with all of you. Have an amazing, light-filled, joy-filled week. Until next week, keep shining your light, and of course, keep awake. And here's a little bit of Breathe by Urban Myth Club. And remember, in the words of Conta Bosniak, our guest today, you don't have to be a political activist. Just by being yourself and doing your life authentically, you not only empower yourself, but create the space and hold the space for others to be empowered and to live more abundantly and authentically.